All right, everybody. We're talking season two episode. Well, here's where it gets interesting. Just it took me a while to figure this out, but it's episode 8 to me, and for our intents and purposes, but it's really season 2 episode 7. But let's not get caught up on that technicality. I counted the holiday special as episode 1 for season 2. And I'm recording this before most of these are released. So, so you probably let me know about it, but it took me a while to fix it. But here we are. The Idiot's Lantern is the name of the episode. And this is an episode about TV called in the YouTube. It used to be called, when it was a tube, it was called the BOOB tube in the U.S. Where do I live? The U.S. United States. But I do like the term the Idiot's Lantern. It's a rainy night. It's a storm in England. And What's My Line is on the TV. Is a man is working hard. He's got, what do you call those things on? Suspenders. He's breathing. He seems to be balancing the book. And he's a little stressed. 200 pounds short. Things aren't good. And the end of programming comes on. They say goodnight from Alexandra Palace. Alexandra Palace. A very good night. They play the national anthem. And he says, I need a miracle. He doesn't say every day. Then we see a kid reading Radio Enthusiast magazine. Cool kid, clearly. Future podcaster. Can't see what that says about at the telly. What does that say? Telly. They're listening to the radio. And it's a mother, a grandmother. And they're joking about what's on there. And then the father comes, who's, ends up being a character we don't beloved here. Something about getting a telly for a coronation. Everybody's got one lately in this neighborhood. The boy says, I think his name's Tommy. Grandma says, TV rats the brain. It's a stormy night, pink lightning. We see the man asleep at his desk. The TV calls to him, Mr. Magpie, woo-woo, woo-hoo, or something. Can you hear me, Mr. Magpie, calling? And I say, not a dream, sweetheart, because he says, what am I, having a dream or I'm out of it? And she says, sit down and we'll begin. Then we see triple pink lightning and the character on the TV laughs. And the episode opens and it's a Mark Gatiss episode, one of our favorites here in the world of Who and GOT and entertainment in general. Then this episode opens. Rose steps out of the TARDIS. She's kind of dressed. There's rockabilly music playing. She's in a pink and blue skirt or something. Like they look shagadelic or whatever, but that's not the right term for the 50s. She says, I thought this was like Vegas, flares and chest hair. And we see the doctor has like a, what is that called? A duck's butt. I call it a duck's butt, but I think it's a duck tail or a coif. And the doctor goes, late 50s Elvis is what we're going for. Elvis the pelvis. He goes, he's got a waist and style. The doctor has a TARDIS or a scooter. He's in total mod style. And he pulls up. He's got a helmet on. Your sunglasses. He goes, you going my way, doll? And Rose goes, there's any other way, daddy-o? Straight from the fridge, man. And then they talk about Cliff Richard, bank holiday. Every bank holiday Monday, they would watch Rose and her mom, who's, I don't know how, I can't remember, Jackie would watch Cliff Richard movies. And he goes, oh, I knew she was a Cliff fan. And then they go, we're going to go to watch Ed Sullivan and the Hound Dog. So they're going to see Elvis's appearance on the Ed Sullivan show. And we're going to catch it. And Rose goes, okay, so we're in New York City, huh? As the double-decker bus goes by. Rose has a purple helmet, I think. And he goes, yeah, there's laundry hanging in the streets, Union flag, bunting, and red mailbox. And Rose goes, digging that New York vibe, Daddy-O. And he goes, yeah, this is kind of like a London-y New York. And Rose goes, well, what's up with the flags? Then we see Muffin the Mule on TV. And people watching, the same families watching TV. They're kind of in there. Something dad is impressed with the TV. I don't know if that's a smarking dad. But he says, look at how good this TV is. Tommy, you're right. He goes, doesn't this make you happy, Rita? He says that to his wife, the mom. He's very impressed. But everyone else is like worried about that grandma's nap and that grandma gets enough nap time. That grandma's she has this new thing. You think where she's wearing clogs around the house upstairs. And she just, instead of telling them stuff, she clogs around upstairs. They say, what does that clogging mean? Does it mean she's hungry? Then we see Magpie delivering TVs. He happens to talk to the doctor. This actor says, what's going on? He goes, getting the TVs ready for the big day. And doctor goes, what big day? He goes, coronation. What are you, a square or something? And the doctor goes, what coronation? He goes, the queen. And Rose goes, oh, well, Queen Elizabeth. And the doctor goes, oh, it's 1953. Somehow I get these dates mixed up because they put 1933 down somewhere, but it's not important. And he goes, yeah, the last time I looked, that's what date it was. Time for some pomp and circumstance, what we do best. And the doctor's pretty pumped about this. And Rose goes, look at all the TV aerials. Like, everyone's got one. I thought my nan had said that everybody had to watch TV in one house, that not everyone had it. And Magpie goes, we sell them for $5. Magpie's Marvelous Tellies. And the doctor goes, cool, Technicolor, Everest, everything off ration, brighter, happier future for England. Let's see, doctor's pumped, and there's more clog issues at another house with Mr. Gallagher. It's been clogging around. And they say, doctor says, what are they doing? They say, Tommy says, or something. They say, no clogging. It's just been clogging ordinance has been passed. Clogging's too loud. What does it say? Pot of Shri for Doctor and Rose in Pursuit. Oh, I think they say something about the patriarchy. Because the doctor says, I'm not sure about this. He says, Tommy, what's going on? He says, they're kind of trying to frame everybody for clogging. And he goes, I don't think they're choosing to clog. I think it's a TV show they're watching. So the doctor chases after the MIBs, which are picking up the cloggers. They chase after in their scooter. The MIBs, they say, let's institute Operation Market Stall. So then in a James Bondian, Indiana Jonesian way, they hide between market stalls and hideouts. And they say, we lost them. Or, you know, your doctor and the Rose say, we lost them. Rose goes, you're not a very good driver. Have you ever passed your driving test? And the doctor goes, what's going on here? We got anti-clog initiatives, MIB, disappearing cars, because they thought this was Churchill's England. And Rose goes, maybe we should ask the neighbors. She goes, no, doctor goes, that's what I like about you, the domestic approach. And Rose says, don't you think it's insulting? Busy, brand new. Oh, no. Then we go back to Magpie's office. He's talking to the TV, who seems to be behind. I'll just tell you, the TV's behind the clogging. And Magpie's made a portable TV. He's talking to the TV. He goes, can I get my freedom back? And she goes, no, you're empowering my clogging. And she goes, if you're good, then I'll let you go back to your life. But right now we're busy. your world's forging into a new age. And she goes, the time is right for someone. Let's see. Ripe me. Busy brand new. Ripe magpie. A ripe magpie. A ripe magpie. Nothing like a ripe magpie. Then we see Kid Podcast, a.k.a. Tommy. That's what I'm calling him. He sneaks upstairs of his house with a key. And he says, Graham, it's me. It's Tommy. And the dad kind of busts him for interrupting or something, or looking into stuff when the dad told him not to, being disobedient. There's also ducks on their wall. And the dad is just, like, too much. He's too good. The acting is almost too good. It throws off kind of the balance of the episode for me. I mean, he puts the arch and patriarchal. He's like an arch patriarch, and he says a little bit of hush. Or somebody says that. Yeah, he's got to make all these speeches for the mom and the son. And right when he says a little bit of hush, the doorbell rings. It's Doctor and Rose. And they say, hi. And the doctor goes, who are you? And the doctor goes, nice house, decent family person. You represent queen and country. Pulls out his psychic paper, you know, do some fast thinking, and then just barges in. And he goes, yeah, we're just checking in before the big day. We work for the, you know, the majesty. And he goes, don't mind if we come in. Not bad. Very well. Congratulate you. Well kept, Miss Conley, Mrs. Conley. And Archpatriarch tries to run the show, you know, because he's... And the doctor goes, well, I'm here for everybody, not just you. He goes, how come your flags aren't up? And the doctor, you know, they say, no, Rose is like, dude, you put them up. Don't boss your family around. I think they said at your majesty's leisure, maybe to tell, instead of, to tell a Kid Podcast and his mom to sit down. Yeah, because they say, Mr. Conley, you put up the friggin' things. Because this is the Queen's country now, not yours, but you know, Mr. Splain. And he goes, we're going to put these Union Jacks up. And Rose goes, Union Jacks? And Eddie goes, right? And she goes, no, it's a Union flag. It's a Union Jack when it's flown at sea. And she goes, get to it now. And then that's when the doctor says, at Her Majesty's leisure. And they introduce, he says, I'm the doctor. This is Rose, next Kid Podcast. Good to meet you. And he goes, oh, I love telly. And they're watching something about dinosaurs or something. But doctor gets to the heart of the matter. Because they say, the doctor says, hey, what's going on? Everybody seems a little bit... And the dad says, well, I don't think he needs to know. And the doctor goes, yeah, do. We're here to help. And the dad says, this is my house. This isn't part of the government's duties or whatever. He goes, I'm in charge of what's under my roof. And the doctor goes, I heard some stuff about clogging. And the dad raises his voice at the doctor. And the doctor says, raises his voice back and says, I'm not listening. Mr. Conley, you could be in big trouble here. Tell me what's going on. And then we hear the clogging, and they say, Gran won't stop clogging. And then the MIB started coming and taking all the cloggers away, and we're afraid they're going to take Gran. So then they go upstairs. Tommy, Kid Podcast, says, Gran, it's here. I'm here to help you with my friends. And they realize that she's absentmindedly clogging without, like, just in some sort of clog zone. And the doctor kind of scans her. He goes, she's your clogger now. I don't understand it. What happened? And they go, we don't know. That's all she does anymore, silently and then noisily. And they go, well, what was she doing before that? And they go, watching a TV show about clogs. And they go, okay. And then the MIB comes to take Grant to the, you know, clog removal school. And everyone's like, you can't believe this is happening, whatever. And let's see, I'm not listening. Grant won't stop. The doctor chases after Grant. He's fast downstairs, really fast. Rose sees pink lightning coming out of the telly. Looks at the back, more pink lightning. There's also pink lightning on the aerial. Doctor follows after Grant and the MIB, but Rose is stuck behind. And then she says, dude, by the way, your flag's upside down. Joker smile and run. Yeah, so it's just hilarious the way Rosa leaves it. Let me see. She goes, she just makes the smile and runs. It's funny. The doctor's going after PVJ 601. Then he sees how they do use the market to hide. He goes, very good. Swerves in. His hair is still a factor, I put, or something. Factor at me enjoying the episode even more. He finds more people that are absentmindedly clogging all in a room. And they just seem zoned out and just clogging. They also clench their fists and hands as they clog around. Then headlights come. The doctor gets kind of seen. Meanwhile, Rose goes into Magpie's telly shop. He says, it's close. Come back tomorrow. And Rose says, tomorrow is the coronation. I need a TV. And he goes, no. You can find somebody else's TV to watch it. She goes, you're just giving these TVs away for nothing. And he goes, yeah, I got my reasons. She goes, what are they? And then the same character comes on TV and says, hey, clogging. I love clogging. Rose goes, who's that? What's that? And Magpie goes, a TV show. I don't know, some avant-garde clogging show. And Rose goes, I'm not leaving until you give me your questions. How come the TVs are so cheap? And he goes, it's my patriotic duty. He goes, so more people can watch the coronation. 20 million people are going to be watching. And they can't be wrong. He goes, why don't you go home and rest for tomorrow? Rose goes, I'm here to see everything. Yeah, because something's going on with this CLO to the G. Starts with a C, rhymes with T, and that stands for trouble. And it's the only common thread is your TVs, Magpie. Magpie goes, I knew I'd get busted. And Rose goes, tell me everything. And he goes, I'm just looking for some peace. And he goes, from the TV, the CLO to the G. And the presenter, she says, oh, what a pretty little girl. And Rose goes, are you talking to me? And she goes, yeah, I'm talking to you, little one. That's the last time I heard that was Circe say that, little bird. And she goes, don't you think it's chilly? And she goes, who are you? And she goes, clogging. It's time for clogging. And then she uses the pink lightning to hypnotize Rose to start. Suddenly there's wooden clogs on Rose's feet. And then we go, let's see. Just doing my duty, telly. Oh, yeah, Rose is fuzzy and clogging. Then the doctor's getting interviewed by these two police, these two officials, and they say, tell us everything you know. And doctor starts making jokes. You can't wrap your hand around your elbow and make your fingers meet. And don't get clever. We saw you today. And the doctor goes, listen, Bishop. And the bishop goes, how did you know my name? He goes, it's in your collar. I can see it. Your mom washes your shirts. And he goes, how much inspecting are you doing with this clog stuff? He goes, are you trying to cut down the clogging so it doesn't distract from the coronating? And he goes, you're just trying to sweep everybody up? And he goes, yeah. He goes, it's the image we have to maintain. And the doctor goes, doesn't it? He goes, don't you want to figure out why? And he goes, yeah, I do. But he goes, we got to get ready for the coronation. And he goes, I've never seen anything like this. And the doctor goes, well, let's fix it. And he goes, how? And the doctor goes, there's also another character there the whole time that never speaks. And the doctor goes, start from the beginning. Tell me everything you know. And he goes, it started a month ago. Spreading out all over North London, across the demographics, large number at the street we saw you at. There's another, the Crabtree, this other dude. He brings somebody in and ends up it's Rose. And the doctor goes, what is that? That's my friend. And now she's just absentmindedly clogging. And they go, this is unusual. She was just out. He goes, we're going to have Torchwood looking into this. And the doctor's not happy that they just, he goes, now I'm on this. No power on earth can stop me. Let's do it. But the doctor was really stunned and not happy, so much so that he takes his glasses off. Then we get like a doctor and the inspector on a hero. What does that say? Hero Patrol. Yeah, coronation party with the dad, Eddie, who had then there's a bell at their door where they were trying to watch the coronation on the telly. It's a doctor. He says, Tommy, talk to me. He goes, I need your kid podcast to tell me what's going on. And the dad gets in the way. He can't let anything go. He's got to be the boss of everybody. But the son stands up to him. He goes, listen, Dad, you're the one. He goes, did you tell on everybody about this clogging? I thought you stood up against this kind of stuff. I thought you were fighting for the underdog. And now I find out you're, whose side are you on? And the dad goes, I just don't like clogging. It's more the random clopping movements. I don't like clopping. And Rita goes, you know what? Hit the road. You told on my mom for her clogging. Hit the road. And the doctor goes, kid podcast, can you help me? Let's see. We also see something. The black party's being set up. We see the queen. Oh, we see some nice shots of the queen's coronation. Queen Elizabeth II. I liked the term. That was the sound of... Rita says that was the sound of something ending. She says it when she sits back down to watch TV, when someone says, what was that outside? Doctor rings the bell at Magpie's office. Then he goes, get out here. They start searching around his office. The doctor finds a portable TV. He goes, this can't be right. And he touches it with his tongue. He says, there's something about this, not just human hands, but something else. And they see, that's a portable television? That's impossible. And the doctor scans stuff with his screwdriver. And they see people's feet are dancing. And they see Rose's feet even. Then Magpie shows up and the doctor loses his cool. And he says, yo, what is up with Rose? What is up with this man? And he goes, what do you think? He goes, and doctor goes, who's in charge here? And then the TV speaks. She goes, this one, yoo-hoo. And they go, well, I'm afraid this is, I want to introduce you to my new friend. Oh, Magpie says that. And they go, it's a person on the TV. And the doctor goes, no, it's more of the image. And she goes, it's CLO to the G. That's what makes me recorporate with glee. And they can talk a little bit about their history. She even turns into color TV. And the inspector goes, good gracious, it's color television. Also, I saw a Sunbeam mixer ad right by Magpie's head at one point. He pasted it on the wall. And doctor kind of figures everything out. He says, you're going to use the TVs. You're going to get powered by Clog, the TV person who calls herself the Wire. And she goes, why worry about it? Kick off your shoes and enjoy the coronation. You're going to be glued to the screen. And she uses that to try to make, she uses her pink lightning. And she goes, you know, C-L-O to the G, C-L-O to the G. But the doctor gets out a sonic screwdriver. And she goes, oh, he's got an arm and he's clever. Withdraw, withdraw. And then Magpie goes on the run with his TV box. And she says, conduct me to my victory. Yeah, he gets in the van. The CV's still talking about clogging. Yeah, doctor wakes up with Kid Podcast. And they say, where did Magpie go? They go outside. They say, the inspector, he's in full clog mode. But they say it's never too late. Then there's a hero zoom, like a low shot on the doctor and Tommy. Queen makes you forget your trouble, cat house. What does that mean? They think that's at Tommy's house. They say, hey, the queen doesn't make queen make you forget trouble. Yeah, but the doctor and Tommy, they're like, where would we go? Where would the thing? Where would the doctor goes, Musewell Hill. Oh, wait, Alexandra Palace. That's the biggest TV transmitter. And he goes, we got to go shopping. And then they start putting together a bunch of electrical stuff. Magpie doesn't want to do this whole thing. We see vacuum tubes. We see more of the Queen's coronation. We see Magpie climbing up to broadcast to TV. Doctor and Kid Podcast are on the run. I saw it for a second. They were using the music from Jackbox Games. Who you don't know Jack from the Jack Attack at the end of the game. And the wire says, the time is at hand, Magpie. We see Doctor and Tommy on the run again. Magpie plays the wire, plugs in the wire, who laughs. Then there's a lot more pink lightning. And she says, too late, Doctor. I'm going to consume you too via clog. So we see the good shot of Doctor's Converse All-Stars. You cannot stop the wire. Soon I shall become manifest. Doctor's climbing up after him. Magpie goes bye-bye. But the doctor says, so he climbs up with Magpie and says, you've been burning the candle at both ends, wire. You've overextended yourself. And the doctor starts plugging in his equipment. Also, he's got his rubber... rubber soles. At first, it doesn't work. It short circuits. And he says, oh, geez, Tommy. And then Tommy's ends up, what do you call that thing? A vacuum tube blew. But Tommy finds a new vacuum tube. And the wire says, no, no, no. No more clogging. And I think that's it. Let me just double check. Yeah, the wire just says no, 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 and it gets sent back to whatever world she was in. And I think that somebody says a joke about an epilogue. A doctor also says, I just invented the VCR, but it's Betamax. He goes, yeah, I sorted it all out. Let's see. Doctor and Tommy... Yeah, they just talk. He goes, yeah, I got rid of it. It was from another planet, really. Clog planet. Then Doctor and Rose have a big reunion, hugs. Rita and Tommy. Grandma's declogged. Rose's declogged. Back to normal. A lot of indie movie music, it felt like. The dad has to go, you know, refigure out his purpose in life. There's long tables in the middle of the block. There's dancing coal, pomp and circumstance, tape out or tape over it. That's how the doctor's going to get rid of the wire. He's like a little bit, the doctor goes all Oprah. He goes, Tommy, you get a scooter. So he gives Tommy a scooter. He goes, new, then they go, maybe your dad's, you know, a dinosaur. And Tommy goes, yeah. And Rose goes, you know what? He's still your dad. Maybe you could make some kind of, he could make amends to you. Go give him a chance. You're clever. Clever enough to save the world. But don't stop there, Tommy. And then people are dancing. Tommy runs after his dad. Rose and the doctor start to celebrate. And the episode comes to a close. All right, so let's look at a couple of things that came up on this Idiot's Lantern episode. One of the first shows we saw was What's My Line? And we'll talk about the UK version, but the Wikipedia article, of course, starts with the US version. Panel game show ran on CBS in the US from 1950 to 1967. Also had subsequent revivals. Required celebrity panelists to answer a question to determine the person's occupation, with panelists being called on to identify weekly mystery guests with specificity. I think I made it not sound like it made any sense. It came back in syndication after being canceled from CBS. Ran in syndication from 68 to 75. In 2013, TV Guide ranked it number 9 on the best 60 game shows. Let's shoot to the UK version because it was on, let's see, panelists, look and style, who's who, later introductions, revivals, specials, Bob Barker looks like did it, live version, episode availability. Board game, 1955, 1969, and 2001. But here's international versions. There was an Australian version with John Barnes in 1956. It only ran to 58. It was replaced by To Tell the Truth. A Brazilian one hosted by Heloisa Helena. And she was also a contestant in the American version in 1956. In Radio Canada and French Canadian, there was a from 54 to 59, Louis Morissette. Let's see, Germany, there was a version 55, 58, and 61 to 89. Robert Lemke, looks like. Indonesia, there was a version from 92 to 98. Let's see, she is. Lithuania, Puerto Rico, South Korea, Spain, Sweden. In the UK version, it ran on BBC television for a service from 51 to 63. The host was called the chairman. On the premiere was Gilbert Harding, replaced by Eamon Andrews, for the remainder of the run. There was also a radio version on Radio Luxembourg. Let's see, though they were, you know, they had their places were by Peter Martin, Bernard Braden, and Attenborough. It was on BBC Two from 73 to 74. So this is a little bit about it, just because it was on the TV there. But what about Alexandra Palace? For those of us that don't live in the UK or London, it is a real place that still exists. And as of when I'm recording this, it has a lot going on. And then we'll cover the past. But this is when I'm recording this. This is December 2000. Whatever year it is, 2018. And in December, they had baby jazz, parent and baby, music classes, a Christmas carnival, Santa's Grotto, Ronnie Scott, Courtney Pine, Billiards Cup, it looks like Moscone Cup, Aladdin on Ice, Dylan Moran Live, Dr. Cosmos, YMCA, Santa Run, Gareth Malone, Elf and Love Actually were playing over the holiday season. not so great Christmas storytelling thing, darts tournament, fromage on ice. I don't know what that means. Oh, that's like a show on ice. Friday night music with Alfie Beau. Let's see what else is coming up. Go Club de Fromage on Ice. Maybe it's like a club on ice. Some hockey, snooker, a train exhibition, model trains, ping pong. A lot of music in February in hockey. So definitely worth checking out if you're in the UK. As far as the history goes, according to Wikipedia, it has an extensive history that I'll link to. It's an entertainment sports venue in London. It was built on the site of Tottenham Wood and Tottenham Wood Farm, built by John Johnson and Alfred Meeson in 1873. It opened 2 weeks later, had to be rebuilt. It was intended as a people's palace and the Alley Pally. It was its purpose was to serve as a public center of recreation, education, and entertainment, a counterpart to the Crystal Palace in South London. At first a private venture, then they sold it to the park for development. Let's see, in 1935, the trustees leased part of the palace to the BBC for use as production and transmission center for the new BBC television. In 1936, it became home of the world's first public television service. The broadcasting service was a 405-line monochrome analog television, the first of fully electronic television system to be used in regular broadcasting. Although other facilities superseded it later, it continued to be used by BBC for many years, and its radio and television mast is still in use. Might be a different one, or maybe it's the same one from this show. The original Studios A and Studio B survive in the southeast wing with the producers' galleries and are used for exhibiting original historical television equipment. The original Victorian Theater with its stage machinery also survives. It looks like the ice skating rink, a hotel, a cinema, and a 10-pin bowling alley, and an exhibition center. Had been planned. It looks like that did open up, though. The nearest underground stations are Wood Green and Alexandra Palace. Also, it gets served by London Buses Route W3. So that's a little bit about that. Another nice, interesting thing. Speaking of which, who's this Cliff Richard guy? I mean, I honestly had to look it up, and now I'm glad I did. He's an OBE, so Sir Cliff Richard to me, or Sir Richard maybe, is a British pop singer, musician, performer, actor, and philanthropist. He sold 250 million worldwide records. The third top-selling artist in UK singles history behind the Beatles and Elvis Presley. Originally like a rebellious rock and roll singer in the style of Elvis and Little Richard, with the backing group The Shadows, dominated the pop scene in Britain, pre-Beatles, 50s to 60s. His 58 single Move It is often described as Britain's first authentic rock and roll song. And John Lennon was a fan. Then he kind of moved into contemporary Christian music. He's had a career over 60 years, won many awards, and very beloved. And let's see what about movies, because that's what, or did they watch specials? Cliff Richard in the 70s, a renaissance in the 70s to the 90s, became a night bachelor. So, yeah, I mean, there's a really, really in-depth stuff about Cliff Richard on Wikipedia. What about Muffin the Mule, though? I mean, you can't get enough of this stuff. Muffin the Mule, also seen on this episode, is a puppet character in British television programs for children. Puppet was made in 1933 for Hogarth Puppets. Original program was presented by Annette Mills, a sister of John Mills, and was broadcast live from Alexandra Palace, BBC, in 1946 to 1952. Mills and the Puppet continued with programs that were broadcast until 1955. The series was transferred to ITV in 56 and 57. An animated version of Muffin appeared in 2005 on BBC Two. Original Puppet was created by Punch and Judy puppet maker Fred Tickner for Jan Bussell and Ann Hogarth to form part of a puppet service for puppet circus for Hogarth Puppet Theater. But they didn't. That act they didn't. They put away and took it back in action in 1946 when they were working with Annette Mills. The character became the Mule Muffin and appeared in television in addition for the children, broadcast on in October 1946. Muffin danced on top of the piano as Mills played it. Muffin the Mule was supported by a host of other puppet characters who appeared occasionally. Yeah, so that's a little bit about Muffin the Mule. Interesting, too. Ducktail haircut we may have covered somewhere else, but it was a haircut style popular in the 50s. It is called the duck's rear in the UK, or slicked back hair. It was invented, according to this, in 1940s in Philly as the duck's butt. In Britain, it formed part of the visual identity of the Teddy Boys and the Rockers, along with the coif and the elephant's trunk. This style had the hair combed back and around the sides of the head. And then, yeah, having like a thing in the middle that looks like the rear of a duck. But maybe the I think that's what the doctor had, though he could have had a, you know, I don't know my hair from my head. I don't have this issue. I don't know. Let's close it out with a little bit about the coronation of Elizabeth II. It took place at June 2nd, 1953, Westminster Abbey in London. After passing of George VI on February 6, 1952, she was proclaimed queen by her coronation was held a year later, you know, led the festivals and, you know, let some time pass and let them prepare for the celebration. Celebrations took place across the Commonwealth realms. It was the first British coronation to be televised. Television cameras had not been allowed in the Abbey during her father's coronation in 1937. And it took 14 months of preparation under the chairmanship of Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. Other committees were formed. Let's just see what we have about the procession was a little along like 200 microphones. I just want to see if they have anything about the televising of it, the music. Many assumed that the Arnold Box would be the director of music. There's a lot of stuff in here. Celebrations, monuments, and media. Review of the fleet. So there's a lot about it, but nothing specifically about Queen. You get a lot of other links in here, but I want to look up television prices over the years. That's a wrong article. I found something here. Let's see, where is it? TVhistory.com.tv. And here's some prices. And this is a cool link because it has advertisements in UK and the US. In the US, American TV prices in the 30s, it looks like you could buy kits. For around in the 30s, around 58, I think this is 1930s money though, between $40 and $90. But a factory made a television would be somewhere in the low end, $150, all the way up to $450. And in the 1940s, the TVs were more expensive. It looks like you could spend anywhere from $500 to a few thousand dollars. In the 1950s, the prices went down again. It looks like you could put black and white sets, you could get anywhere from $150 to $400 or $500, and then color televisions from $500 up to a couple thousand. In the 60s, actually, yeah, black and white TVs were around $250 and up. And color TVs could be as low as $350 and up into, you know, multi-thousands. In the 70s, again, you could get away with some black and white TVs for around, a 12-inch TV for around $90. And smaller color TVs started at, you know, around $350 or so. Let's see, in the UK, you could get a mechanical kit in 1930s, the Daily Express by Mervyn for £5. And factory made sets for around £20 to £26. The Baird Model A or the Televisor. Then before the WAR, you were looking at for factory sets, $175 and up. Post WAR, you know, the prices went way up. And you're looking at, you know, the high threes. And then in the 50s, yeah, it was like, so in the wait, we did it in the 50s. So looks like this one doesn't have, like, black and white TVs in the 1950s. We had the PYE 76. Let's just click on this ad. This is a choice of TV for the connoisseur. It was an 18-valve, 12-inch console. Finest TV chassis and a superbly styled mahogany cabinet. Two simple controls, improved suppressed circuit, produced a picture of fine definition and graduation of tone. Picture's 10 by 8 inches. Console's 22 by 18 by 35. Yeah, it's like, so that's a little bit about TVs and stuff. Yeah, but that's it. Good night.